Before we start this episode of CFD's Podcast for Good, let's give a little shout out to our presenting sponsor, WSECU. WSECU has been a part of the community since 1957 and has been supporting the CFD in a big way since 2011. Thanks to them, we were able to bring you spectacular events and promotions like the Masquerade Ball, Golf for Veterans Tournament, and our incredible First Week to Give, which has been responsible for raising tens of thousands of dollars in donations to charities throughout our community. For more on how WSECU serves charities throughout our community, visit www.wsecu.org/community. And of course, visit our website to find out more about our incredible partnership with WSECU. And now, here's the show.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to a special edition of Podcast for Good, CFD After Dark. It's summer months and everyone's kind of getting prepared for the campaign, so we kind of figured we'd hit everybody with another rousing nerd corner with our fellow comic book loving and just general fantasy loving nerds.
Yeah,
thank you.
Might
for coming.
As well say it.
I am Philip Caring, and I am the host of the Nerd Corner.
Nice.
And this is
Heather Lucas. I'm the fiscal and policy coordinator for the Combined Fund Drive.
And then back by popular demand, I mean that because the comic book podcast, by the way, was one of the most downloaded podcasts we have.
Yay!
Congratulations.
I know. So let's go. What's who are we with?
Karen Boyle, social media and website coordinator for OSOS.
There you go.
And I'm Landon Baldwin, program coordinator for OSOS.
There we go. Now I hope we can do some hot takes because this is the Harry Potter edition
Yes. Of
Podcast for Good CFD After Dark. I want to do a little bit of program notes right off the top. I'm probably going to act more as your MC as I am not well-versed in the Harry Potter universe.
What?
Really?
I know.
Says the person who didn't know who Dobby was?
Yeah, shut up.
Or the person who hated Harry Potter when he was younger?
There's a whole personal feeling that goes into that, so I'm not going to go into that because that's not really fair Harry Potter files out there. I guarantee you, it's got to be 60% to 70% of state employees will see Harry Potter and go, oh, it'll be the first time they ever think about actually listen to a CFD podcast.
I don't know. I think it'd probably be higher. I mean, Harry Potter is
75-80%?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So.
Cool. Yeah. So this is going to be great. We'll catch people's attention and then they'll stay for the other stuff.
Yeah. And if you air the episode on his birthday.
When is his birthday?
July 31st.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. July 31st. We're going to make a note of that.
Yeah.
Programming note, July 31st. So happy birthday, Harry. So as usual, we're going to talk about it in terms of a series of questions. We're going to have a roundtable discussion that's very entertaining. No pressure on interview to be really good.
Feel pressure.
Be really good. And then, we'll take it from there. And, of course, we'll probably do some, like, just basically BSing about all sorts of different
stuff. So as the host, who's not super into this particular fandom, are you answering any of the questions?
I will attempt to answer the questions. Okay. Now, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to try to answer the question.
Yeah.
And then you guys are going to laugh because you're going to be like, that's ridiculous. Why would you ever say that?
You never know. You might
find that
we are
Who
on
knows?
Your side.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. All right. So are we ready?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go, people. All right, question number one. What is your favorite character not named Harry Potter? So why don't we start with Heather? What's your favorite character and maybe why?
Okay. So I thought about, I think my favorite character overall is Snape.
You have your mother's eyes.
Because of his arc in the story.
Okay, okay.
And he's Alan Rickman. So
I love late, great Alan Rickman.
Uh-huh, and he's got attitude, and he's kind of mean, but he's also, he's got his reasons for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do also love both Luna and Professor McGonagall for a similar reason. Like, they're both who they are.
Yeah.
They know who they are, and they're not going to let anybody tell them.
Okay.
That's not cool.
Okay.
People are gonna say,
You're
stupid or you're weird or you're whatever you are.
Right.
But they're cool with it.
Well, okay. So as you're watching Harry Potter, right? Professor Snape seems like he is ready to go down the road of being a bad guy.
Oh, yeah. He's correct? Like a baddie the whole time.
And then, like, there's the super twist at the end. Yeah. By the way, we're going to just do spoiler
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yep.
If you, statute of limitations. I've
said that already.
Before,
if you haven't read the books or seen any of the books statute at this point.
Yeah.
You should probably stop.
What are we saying is the statute of limitations? I feel like 2 years. Then,
2 years.
Then you're done.
Certainly with Harry Potter, it's longer.
Yeah. If it's not an active
7-year
book. Because like we were just before this, we were talking about Game of Thrones and the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Books 1-5 have been released, but the episodes have gone past. So like you got a little bit of...
Right. So nobody can be mad at you if you say Bruce Willis was dead in The Sixth Sense now.
No.
It's over.
No,
it's
over.
You should have seen it.
Let's say 5 years after the last movie came out.
Got it. All right. So we're right on
like almost. So okay, how about 2 years after the last movie?
We're going to do spoilers. We're safe.
The books were also
We're going to do spoilers.
We're already out,
Okay. Okay, here we go. So, Kieran, your favorite character not named Harry Potter.
Okay, so this character takes some time to actually find her place and the character development, but I would say Book Ginny. Not movie
Book
Ginny.
Okay.
Movie Ginny is my least favorite.
Garbage?
One of them. She is garbage.
Okay.
Sorry,
garbage.
Movie Ginny, but I just don't like her.
Her
actress is great.
The actress who played Ginny is like, aw, why?
No.
Why
sorry, Bonnie. Right I did not mean that.
She was a fine person.
She was a fine person, But Book Ginny was a headstrong person who did not need to go tie Harry's shoelaces. Mm-mm. Because they were untied.
Okay.
She was not his mom.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, Movie Ginny was more like his mom.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, at the very end of the last movie, like she looked like a banker.
She did. She was supposed to be a quidditch player. Yeah. She was supposed to be a badass quidditch player.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she just ended up.
And the haircut.
Super down
and the haircut.
Six brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She was like a tomboyish.
Right.
Yeah. She was tomboyish, but also basically a girl. Like
how comfortable do we think Ron Weasley is with Harry Potter dating his girlfriend?
Well,
or his sister.
Girlfriend.
His girlfriend. Yeah.
Is there a Game of Thrones?
This is not Game of Thrones.
Right? We're not in this yellow place.
Remember, this is a children's book at point.
I feel like I'd be, because he's already pretty, he's kind of jealous of Harry and Hermione.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know.
He was totally fine with Ginny.
He's totally fine with Ginny. He doesn't care. All right.
It took him a while. It was right after he broke. It was right after she broke up with Dean.
And he was like, might as well, if you're going to date someone, date Harry type of thing.
Yeah.
But he'd
I feel
also
like I'd have more of a problem with it if it were
myself.
So I think all of that, coupling with Ron dating Lavender Brown at the time, starting to realize he didn't just want any girl. He wanted Hermione.
Yeah.
To figure out.
Okay.
Kind of balance that.
I think I'd have more of a problem.
Going off of that,
If my sister?
Best friends
don't date my sister, dude.
The only sister
I know my
too.
Best friends. They have no business dating my sister.
Well, are any of your best friends Harry Potter?
Well, they're not Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, your best friends aren't the
they're
chosen.
None of them are the boy who lived, so.
Right. So I think
the chosen one.
Right. Yeah. No. They're definitely not the chosen one.
Well,
yeah.
Speaking of the relationships, I wanted Harry and Hermione to actually be together. I didn't like the whole Hermione and Ron relationship because they just weren't. They never meshed well, and Harry was always supportive of Hermione, well, to an extent, but he never outright said to her face, you're stupid, or, well, I'm mad at you because your cat's trying to eat my rat.
Or didn't listen to her because she was
wrong.
Because Ron is sexist.
Yeah.
Not always, but he comes a long way.
There are several instances where he was like, you can't do that, you're a girl, type of thing. So.
Yeah. The whole time I was thinking when the Ron and Hermione thing was really like it was going to happen, in the movie. The whole time I was thinking, like, what are their kids going to look like? That was all I could think about. Because he had this, crazy ginger hair, and she was a brunette. What hair color is that making?
Probably a ginger fro kind of thing.
Oh, the poor daughter of Ron
Chucky
and
from Rugrats, probably.
Chucky from Rugrats.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow.
I think that would be
He's their love child.
I also have Hermione would also be my favorite character besides
Okay.
But my very, small role favorite character is Kingsley Shacklebolt. I really like him.
Okay.
Because just the way he was written in the books.
Yeah.
And he was so sassy.
Yeah.
Even in the movies. I think that translated well.
Yeah. Like they took someone else's line. I forget who lines it was. And put the Dumbledore's Got Style.
Yeah.
Kingsley. And it worked so well. It was like that gave him a character. And I loved it.
It's like something you can't deny. He's got style.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was good.
All right. And how about you, sir?
I kind of did the same thing where I did like a one of the younger generations, someone in the middle, and someone from the older.
Mm-hmm.
Luna, for sure, in the younger generation, just because she'd been through so much pain at such a young age and is herself such a free spirit. Nymphadora Tonks, for me, in the middle, just because she's Sirius's cousin. She's a metamorphomagus, and can change her face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then she falls in love with Lupin, a werewolf, and goes through that whole political repercussions. She's a half-blood, so she's going through being a part of this ancient wizarding line, but has a mudblood dad who she loves. And then has a baby who ends up being, spoiler alert again, Harry's godson. So it's like, she's this big central role, but she's not so much focused on. I would have loved like a side book about Tonks.
That would have been
Dumbledore
really cool.
Is just, I love Dumbledore's musicality. Like the some of the stuff he says sometimes. In the first movie when he goes for the box of every flavored beans and goes, I had a booger flavored once, and he goes, earwax.
Yeah,
and
I'm like, oh my God. Yes.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah. So question about that though, Dumbledore, like did you like the first movie Dumbledore better or the second movie Dumbledore
better?
Hands
down first one.
Yeah.
First one, but it would have been weird to see second him talking one. About you gotta kill Voldemort, Harry, later in the book, seeing that old 90-year-old man say that, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I like the second movie Dumbledore better because I liked how sassy and like full of energy he was.
I think a mix of
the two. Wait, I got a question.
Do you know what we're talking about?
No, but here. So did the, and this probably will answer my question, did the actor who has played Dumbledore like die in real life halfway through one of these filmings? Because Michael Gambone takes over like halfway through.
Yeah, so the first actor.
See, I was paying attention.
Movie one and two. And then Michael Gambone's the rest.
Michael Gambone's the rest. Yeah.
Richard Griffiths?
Yeah, I like Michael Gambone better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome actor.
Richard
he's got gravitas.
Richard Harris. There
Richard Harris.
Griffiths
is
a Dursley.
Yeah. No, I like the combination of the two.
Really?
The only reason I just most recently watched the fifth movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like his portrayal of aloof Dumbledore in there. Not aloof, but avoidance, distance Dumbledore, because he just seems like a jerk. When in the books, it's more like, oh, Harry, I don't have time. Like, I can't. And in the movies, he's like, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
They,
so,
they didn't address that very well
and,
in the movies at all.
Yeah. And it's not the actor's fault.
Yeah.
It's the direction.
Okay.
I think a combination and the one line he's famous for that should not have happened in the fourth movie.
Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire?
Oh.
He said calmly.
Oh yeah, in the book he says it calmly. It says that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't run up to
maybe
him, like,
they
a
took
a
bunch
punch.
Of
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they took a bunch of takes and they realized the more dramatic one was going to be the crazier
even
one.
Even though in the book it says he said calmly.
Sure.
And then, okay. You know, it is actual English instead of Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. I don't know what Gambone is in real life. If he's English or something.
He has to.
I think they all have to be, right? That was the rule.
He played I think Winston Churchill and something.
Yeah.
All right. So this is one of my favorite ones. If you could have one magic power that was on display in the Harry Potter movies, which one would it be? Starting with you.
So I did think that anything Hermione could do, I'd want to do. And then I was like, no, forget that. Anything Dumbledore could do, I'd want to do. But then I was like, their magic power is what? Pointing a wand and saying words. So that's not really a magic power.
Yeah.
So then I thought that I'd like the ability to make inanimate objects animated.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the name of that?
No idea.
Okay. But good. Good one.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm rolling with.
Karen.
I would say animagists. I would want to be an animagist.
That's
would
where
be
you
so
can
cool.
turn into an animal.
Yeah, where you could turn into animal, like Professor McGonagall into a cat. Mm-hmm. And
okay, it leads to the second question. If you could turn into any animal, what would it be?
Oh, that's a hard one.
I'm a velociraptor.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Some type of bird, I think, so I could fly.
A bird of prey?
Hopefully. No, I don't know.
Like just a hummingbird?
I don't know.
I'm gonna be
I'll have to think about
I'll be a Stellar Jay.
Maybe an enema.
I really like those sunflower seeds. Yeah.
maybe. Okay, what about a fictional animal?
I'd go dragon.
Like a dragon?
Yeah.
Yeah, or I'd go phoenix.
Oh, yeah, there's snake. Yeah, just basilisk. There you
go. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Nagini.
Yeah.
All right.
That sounds good. Landon, what power would you have?
So I didn't know. I kind of took this one as like magical item or like spell. Mm-hmm. Magical item, I did the time turner because that thing is like universe breaking. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you really think about that thing, ruins. I don't know.
Yeah, that's not. Or
it makes
power.
Your brain hurt.
Yeah, it makes your brain hurt and like
yeah.
but if not, then something like a broom or the Imperious Curse would be.
Okay.
Landon's so nice.
Imperious Curse.
Okay. I know. I was like, wait, did he just say that? Yep. Landon would be the nicest one in this room. But after him saying the Imperious Curse, I don't know.
He's got a dark side.
Like, we'll
is he the Slytherin house?
That was creative, though.
Yeah.
Look out, Jake Dumbledore, what's happened?
He's back. He's back. Voldemort's back.
Okay, so that leads us, actually, good segue to...
I don't want to ruin it.
Which house do you think you'd belong to? If you put on the hat, I'm sure it has a name. What's the hat's name?
Sorting hat.
The sorting. There you go. See?
I was hoping to. Thank you, people. Does it have a name like
that? Yeah. I think about that. Like, I was just you're like, huh.
You're just putting Fred on your head.
My 6-year-old son right now, if he listened to that, he'd be like, sorting hat, dad.
Nice.
Yeah. So, if you were to belong to a house, what house would you belong to?
So I took the Pottermore quiz to get sorted into
houses. Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
we're going to throw that link up. You're going to have
to send it to me. So for the Pottermore
quiz. I think everybody will be interested in that.
Yeah. Did you guys take it?
Yeah.
No, I should, though.
You should. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Okay.
But like when I took it for my house, for my wand, and for my Patronus, it came back and said, we have to ask you more questions. Three times. And then on one, it came back 4 times. And it was like, this is an unusual case. And I was just like, oh, God, don't tell me I'm a muggle or something.
Oh, man.
You know, what is this? I don't understand. Maybe I'm a Death Eater. Yeah. I don't know.
Ooh.
So, so I was kind of alarmed. But it came back as Gryffindor.
Okay.
So I was like, I can kind of see it a little bit.
Sure.
But
you're the only person ever who confused the sorting hat.
I did. Yeah.
I was like, what a complex individual.
But yeah, I always thought Slytherin would be where I'd be just because, A, I'm not nice. B, it's like an achieving thing.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they got to achieve and I'm an achiever. I got to achieve. And sometimes there's
Gryffindor's achievers. Yeah.
They're more loyal in Gryffindor. Than
Friendly
and
they're nice.
Bravery. And I was like, really bravery? This one? Okay.
Whatever.
Well, Neville was in it and no one thought he was brave until you know.
And then he ended up being a brave hottie apparently. You see the guy now?
Yeah, Longbottomed is a
Google
word.
That
is
one. Man alive.
Is a thing.
That's a good looking gentleman.
Yeah.
Yep.
He was a super nerd in that movie.
Of course.
Now he's good looking. Yeah. All right, so.
Someone has a crush.
So, what house do you think you'd be in, Karen?
I know I would be in Gryffindor because I also took the Potter.
You took the Potter. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, Gryffindor buddies.
Yes.
Hey, Gryffindor.
Yeah. But I don't remember my wand or Patronus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that one.
I wrote my business down, so we can talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people do take their houses seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do they really?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Like, if there are people who get put into Hufflepuff and they're like, wait a minute, because Hufflepuff is, out of the 4 houses, probably the one that people are like,
EE, everyone else.
Everybody's smoking weed or just, like, eating food.
They're next to the kitchen.
But like really ambitious.
Everyone says the Hufflepuffs are really nice, but in the books, some of them are really like one stuff about like Harry, like false information about Harry's out there. They're just like, oh my God, like
seems a
they
little
gossip
more of a
about him more.
Thing to do. Hufflepuffs.
Right.
But I don't know. They are everyone else, kind of.
Okay.
Besides Ravenclaw, she's my favorite Hufflepuff.
She was Hufflepuff.
She's like the first Hufflepuff
you got to
see.
She makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm kind of going for with Hufflepuff. But you do have to include everyone else somewhere.
Yeah,
it's true.
that is true.
Yeah. Okay, a quick question before I go to Landon. Can somebody tell me, logically speaking, why Slytherin would even be an acceptable house in this particular...
Instant jail.
Instant juvie. Right? I mean, basically, are they parsing out these people? They're like, oh, that guy is screwed. Slytherin house. Like,
well, no, well, like
they have a bad rep.
Yeah, they do have a bad rep because there are some things about them where it's just like it makes sense. Like I've seen.
Aren't they all the ones though who transition to be bad guys at the end?
Well, there's no. A lot of
Regulus
them,
went say, from bad guy to good guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Snape went from bad guy to good guy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's more of like they say not a single person who's didn't they say not a single bad person who wasn't in Slytherin or something like that. What do they say? It's something along... There's like an exact quote. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're like, oh, you don't want to be in Slytherin because there's not a dark witch or wizard who went bad that wasn't in Slytherin.
Got it.
Yeah. Hagrid's... Yeah. But it's not saying all Slytherins are bad.
Yeah. Maybe they're trying to avoid the whole gentrification
could
issue.
Could be. I've seen crossover fandom stuff with like Avengers. What houses would they be in?
Mm-hmm.
Captain America, 100% Slytherin.
No way. Yes. No way he would be in Slytherin.
I think
he's Gryffindor all the way.
Gryffindor. I don't know.
I feel like
he's loyal
Iron Man would
and he's bravery. Iron Man would be Ravenclaw.
Iron Man would
Ravenclaw
be Slytherin.
He'd be Ravenclaw.
he'd be the Slytherin guy who'd made it out. But come on, he's got attitude.
He does.
You know?
But he's a genius.
Actually, yeah. No, but a lot of Slytherins are Slytherines are smart.
Yep.
They gotta have that cunning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So I
and like Captain America, he has moral compass. It's just like he is willing to break the law, and then he's willing to be like, you know, maybe you have the wrong file. Mm. No, I didn't steal this.
Yeah,
you know,
I disagree.
Kind of
like
I disagree.
He's shown as like the do-good, can't do anything wrong.
He does stuff
but
wrong.
But he does stuff wrong that he thinks is right.
Own up to it eventually, sort of.
I disagree. I'm very passionate about this particular subject. Captain America is the best. Okay, on to you, sir. What house do you think you'd be in, Landon?
So I'd like to say Slytherin because I'd like to give it a good name.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
So
we're seeing a dark.
Yeah, we're seeing a dark Landon.
A dark streak running through Landon right now. Man
Slytherin.
Alive.
Wait till we talk about Game of Thrones. Huh?
Don't turn your back on Landon for crying out loud.
That's right.
And you will lose everything.
All right, so I like this one too. Which plot twist did you not see coming? We'll start with you.
For both the books and the movie, Sirius's death, I didn't see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought, okay, you know, you're going to have to keep giving Harry challenges because A, he's the chosen one. He's the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's going to have to battle Voldemort. Voldemort's after him all the time, you know, except during the school year. He wants him to get a good education.
Yeah.
Obviously.
He waits till the end.
He's not
right after finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think it's time to go get
Harry. Maybe he's got something on his calendar. Yeah.
He's not a monster.
Google alert.
Get educated, boy.
His education. But then also in the books, they didn't do it in the movie, but in I think it was book 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah, book 7. So Harry, Ron, and Hermione are already at Sirius's house after the wedding has been attacked. Mm-hmm. And then Remus Lupin comes to them and says, I'm here. I'm willing to offer my help. And I thought, you know, okay, this is kind of out of the blue. But, like, you know, this is his dad's friend. So he's coming in. It's a thing he feels he needs to do. Like, I'm going to follow through. Your dad died. I'm going to follow through and I'm going to help you figure this out. We're going to eliminate all these Horcruxes together. Yeah. And Harry's like, ha, no, go home. So I thought that was just like, whoa, Harry, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that out of him.
Okay.
His
That's
character
interesting.
Growth from the 5th to the 7th book.
Okay.
But Sirius's death, I didn't, because when you're reading it for the first time, it talks about the Department of Mysteries and the Veil.
Yeah.
The Arkway, and then, I think, or what do they call it? And then they talk about that, but you don't know what it does.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they never say straight up, oh, this is what's going to happen if you fall. Because it has that moment where Harry's like, I'm hearing these people. Don't you guys hear them? And he's like looking right at it, trying to walk into it.
Yeah.
And then Hermione's like, Harry, I don't like this. Maybe you should step back.
Yeah.
And
he goes, oh, I can hear him too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they never really showed that in the movies.
Yeah.
They just show him, you know, falling and you're like, whoa, wait, what just happened?
Exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And oh man, that scene in the 5th book when Harry's like, no, he's still here. He's just right behind the curtain. Like, he's there. I know he is. I'm like, oh, Harry, no, he's gone. That one was just so that. And then his whole cycle of asking Sir Nicholas, like, why? How'd you become a ghost? Like, maybe Sirius is a ghost. Like, and then looking in the mirror. And that was hard to read. But I did not see that coming because they didn't she didn't explain it in a good way, kind of to keep the mystery, because it is the Department of Mysteries. Mm-hmm. Like, even they don't know what the thing does. So that was a good one.
Okay.
If you had another one.
No, I just took over. Just those two.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. How about you? Plot twist you did not see coming.
I was actually going to I'll come back to that. The Vel. I did watch Fantastic Beasts. You know how they had that like execution room almost in the American one? Is that supposed to be what kind of the Vel is? That they're figuring
out?
I think
so, because
they have like
a
big auditorium.
It's like a pool kind of.
Yeah. And they're like, they don't know exactly what it, but I feel that's what I got the rereading at this time. Like the intention of the Vel. Yeah. I've always been curious. What is that thing?
Yeah, because they have steps like for people to sit on.
To sit around
it's kind of like a.
And like they were fighting above. Yeah. And then because Tonks fell down after fighting Bellatrix, and Bellatrix went and fought Sirius down here, but I was always curious. Is it some
maybe
big,
it's like they were in the American version of what is in the Department of Mysteries?
Yeah. And Fantastic Beasts. I don't know. Yeah. I saw that the other day too, and I was like, wait, whoa, is there a connection there?
Yeah. And then if that's the case, then you can imagine at the Department of Mysteries, they do the same thing they do where they give you some kind of like they take away
your brain. So you hear maybe all these people in there and you want to go in there. I don't know. That just brought curiosity almost.
All right.
See, he's interested in death machines.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not helping my
game. This guy.
Well, this is another thing, big plot twist I didn't see coming. So with Snape, but mainly being Harry being the last Horcrux and Snape finding out that Dumbledore was breeding this kid his whole life to eliminate Voldemort's like last little bit of stand, and Snape said no. And so you get to see this like character you've hated this whole series
the whole time
and fighting with this character you love this whole series and switching opinions almost about him at the last second and you're like, whoa, that was a huge track switch.
That was a really big one, especially when Voldemort, when Snape says, well, you've just been breeding him like a lamb to die or lamb for slaughter, and I was just like, oh my gosh, like that was a big one.
Backshot being the snake. I couldn't, reading that, it's like, wait, what? That was a snake in a person? Yeah. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, whatever.
Snake wearing people
clothes.
Just like, wait a minute. The other way they could do it, because Voldemort, with Harry being part of Nagini when she was attacking, like that you heard, but then the other way around, you're like, hold up.
Yeah, you're like,
what
wait,
just happened?
Wait, she came out of what? How?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
because Dumbledore had said he's going to see magic we'd never seen, but reading that, it was like.
Yeah.
Like, or
people are snakes. Snakes
either.
Can be people now.
Yeah.
People clothes. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. We're in it.
Or, well, what about the prophecies? That was a big plot twist about where you find out that the whole track Harry's been on could have easily been Neville's track.
Yeah.
Or. They find out that there were, because it was whoever was born that summer, and it was two boys.
A boy
so
born
Neville.
In July. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, two.
And Voldemort's
then,
being a half-blood. One to go after the half-blood, because he was scared of him.
Yeah, and the fact that same thing happened to Neville that happened to Harry. Like, his parents are as good as dead, because they don't even remember him.
Mm-hmm.
They reverted back to, like,
kind of like childhood in a way.
Children.
Yeah.
But it's sad to think about the whole thing where everyone just cast Neville aside, like, oh, it's just Neville, but could have been easily him in Harry's position.
Yeah.
And Neville, the boy who lived.
Yeah. And Harry would have just been
just some guy, just some dude.
Just Harry Potter.
Maybe he would have kept living under the stairs as aunt and uncles, because, you know,
well, I think he still
would have been incapacitated too.
Yeah. But I think he would have gone to another relative, or not his aunt and uncle, because the reason he went there was for his protection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wonder if he
Sirius. So he could have had an actual childhood
with like magic relatives. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned the Snape turnaround there, because I felt like as everyone was talking, I knew, I was like, you knew that one. And I felt like I didn't read the books.
Yeah.
And I experienced these for the first time like 2 months ago. All of them, right? And I felt like, ooh, if I bring up that Snape was like a kind of a good guy, like you guys would be like, you loser. But yeah, that was really crazy. I thought that was interesting.
I think part of it too is like we're so used to it.
Well, didn't you guys read the books before you watched the movie?
No.
Yeah. Well,
no?
I was
you went the reverse.
I read the books before I watched the movie.
I was what, 3 when they first started coming out? Mm-hmm. So I read the Harry Potter was my first chapter book-ish.
Mm. Yeah.
And so I read that to get into it, and then I caught up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And read the series as they come out.
You read the books first before you
watched
the movie.
Yeah, I read the series as they came out.
See, and then watched the movie. Some of those are not twists, right? So, like, I hadn't read a single word of any of the books, and so then I watched the movie. And then, first of all, like, the fact that Snape... like the whole time they just convince you he's like a terrible dude and then all of a sudden the last 10 minutes they're like, no, but he's actually a really nice guy,
and now he's dead,
and now he's dying.
I saw the first two movies and then I read all of the books in 2 weeks, and then I watched the rest of the movies.
I can't read a magazine article in 2 weeks.
Step it up, son.
Listen to the audiobooks.
Yeah.
They're great. The audiobooks are really good.
That's how a lot of us learn how to say Hermione.
Yes.
Like, you look at that word and you're like,
Hermione?
No, exactly.
Hermonious.
Or you think Canutes or Nuts or whatever.
Hermione. There's a lot of words in there. Yeah. Canute. Yeah.
Let's take a second to talk about a fun new podcast we'll be rolling out during the annual giving campaign. Donors are always asking us about the impact their donations are making on our community. The Daily Drip, our new podcast, will be highlighting these impacts. Each day during the annual giving campaign, our fabulous hosts will take 10 minutes to showcase one of our incredible member charities and talk about how your donations help them accomplish their missions. The Daily Drip is like your daily shot of goodwill and charity news. So make sure to visit our Podcasts for Good webpage starting in October, or download the Daily Drip podcast on whichever app you use to listen to your favorite pods. And now, back to the show. All right, so here we go. Number 5, what is your most rewatchable Harry Potter movie?
So I think that the first two movies are easy to rewatch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you are still, like, Harry is still young enough and inexperienced in the world that you're inexperienced with him, right?
Yeah.
So definitely that first one, you're like, I have no idea what's going on.
Right.
Neither does this kid. So you are there with him.
Yeah.
The second one, you're still there with him. After that, it gets a little more, like, he is a little more in-depth and stuff. Stuff happens where you're just like, oh, I don't know. But then I do think that my favorite out of all of them is the third movie, mostly because of the direction and cinematography.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. That sounds good. Yeah. How about you?
I would say the first two as well.
Okay.
I've rewatched the first one countless number of times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're still young, and it's like when they're first all introduced. So they're still kind of following the book and introducing, like, the whole world. Because in the books, they don't wear Muggle clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the movies after, like, the second one, they're like, yeah, we'll just put them in jeans. It's no big deal. Whereas in the books, it's always like robes. They're always robes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when they have to go out into, like, Muggle London or whatnot, then they'll wear Muggle clothes.
Yeah.
So they really follow the books with the set design and all, just creating that whole world. That's why I really like the first one. I think I could just watch that over and over.
Mm.
The other ones get kind of sad after. Mm. Watch it several times. You're like, oh, man, I know this character is going to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch this again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I see the first one.
Okay. And Landon, how about you?
I'd have to say the first one for John Williams
score. Sorcerer's Stone, a sweep.
Yeah.
For
Sorcerer's Stone.
For the John Williams score, like Harry Potter or like Jaws, Star Wars, the old Superman.
A lot of the Jurassic
Park, it just brings back those, like, instant, like,
that's true.
That's Harry Potter.
Yep.
That's true. There are people who have never watched Jaws who know
they know the music.
Yeah, that's
same
true.
Same with Harry Potter, the Hedwig's theme. Few notes when it starts, and you're like, yes. Even in Fantastic Beasts, when they do they still incorporate a little bit of John Williams' Hedwig's theme.
They better.
Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, goosebumps.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah, so true.
And it world builds so much. Mm-hmm. But Prisoner of Azkaban number 3, I really, really like. Just because it wasn't. It's one of the only ones that's not Voldemort focused.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Harry kind of gets serious. He meets his god dad and
He gets a little bit of break.
Yeah, he gets a little bit of
murdered.
Harry Potter growth.
Yeah.
Voldemort, but technically Harry growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm gonna say Sleepy Hollows Part Two, because I don't know what the F is going on at the end of that movie. Harry is like dead, and then in some Matrix world, and Dumbledore's walking around with him, and I'm like, what in the hell is happening right now?
Yeah.
I felt a lot like I was on an acid trip at the end of that movie, because like Harry's got to die in order to do to like kill Voldemort, but then he's gonna come back, and then he's gotta. I was like, whoa, what is happening right now? Yeah. And of course, my 6-year-old is watching it like he's locked in. He knows every. He's like, yeah, this makes sense. I'm like, how does this make sense to you?
Also, I think you meant Deathly Hallows instead of
whatever.
Sleepy Hallows.
You know what I meant.
And Dumbledore, yeah. Not Dumbledore.
See,
yeah.
See, whatever. Yeah. See, I knew this was a bad podcast for me to be.
You were doing really well up until
Deathly Hallows. Deathly Hallows Part Two, because it also. Yeah. Wraps it up. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of dig how they went the whole way with it. I really was like, because Deathly Hallows Part One is the most unwatchable of all the Harry Potters for me.
Because
I have a very difficult
up.
Time because mm-hmm. it's pretty slow.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they're constantly basically running mm-hmm. the whole time.
Yeah.
Right?
It gets a little mm-hmm. old.
And it gets a little old after the third or fourth like.
Incident,
yeah, yeah, right. Where you're kind of
like,
all right,
this again,
yeah, 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 a little bit of that.
You guys got to find some Horcruxes,
right?
Yeah, yeah, come on, speed it up.
Yeah, and like, and like, the thing is you can tell why they made the two parts, because mm-hmm. you know that Deathly Hallows is going to be like a 4-hour movie if you
yeah.
squish them together.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is that it almost felt like what they did was the studio went like, okay, so we have a 4-hour movie here, mm-hmm. we could make it into two. We have a 3-hour movie, 3.5-hour movie. We could make it into 2 1.5-hour movies, but then. And they're 1.5 hours. We need to extend these to 2 hours apiece.
Yeah.
And that first one just feels like there's a couple times where you're like, oh, gosh, you guys are dragging
yeah.
here. I mean, there's not mm-hmm. really much happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you notice that Ron is starting to get, like, super...
angry.
Yeah, pissed off mm-hmm. that, like, Harry and Hermione are talking so
but
much.
That but that is also the Horcrux that's affecting mm-hmm. him.
Yeah, that's so. True, too. I mean, and I guess that's something.
But he's he's always angry, though. With Harry, he has, I guess, an excuse because he has a Horcrux inside him when Harry goes kind of ballistic sometimes,
uh-huh.
especially uh-huh. in, like, when he's, I think, in the sixth one, fifth or sixth one, where Harry, Ron and Hermione are made prefix and
oh.
Harry's not fifth one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell? Like, I did all of this and
I'm
you
the
think.
Chosen one.
Yeah. If he says, yeah.
Yeah. I yeah. won the Triwizard Tournament.
I saw Voldemort. Like,
Voldemort,
I did
yeah.
this and you don't think I can be a prefect kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Ron can. Like, he has those
right.
thoughts in his mind.
Right.
Which makes sense because he doesn't know he's a Horcrux. So.
Yeah. yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
with Ron, he always has that. Inferiority complex.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
with
from
him,
the
though,
beginning,
like,
yeah.
he has that.
He's got older brothers.
True, that
so
is
he's
true.
Like the
mm-hmm.
last in line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that jealousy thing, but I think, yeah, for Ron, it's hard to not be jealous of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it earlier. I actually liked that Ron and Hermione ended up together.
Because
at the beginning, the very first movie, I was like, oh yeah, these two are gonna hook up. Like they're gonna be together because, like she, like you know, they're totally yin and yang. You know what I mean? Like
kind of. But do you think they're too opposite? Because there's some things that she's like super passionate about, especially with SPEW, and then
well,
which
I,
wasn't
yeah.
shown in.
I think
the,
if we're gonna
yeah,
flash, let me put it this way. I think if we're gonna flash forward,
want to talk about SPEW?
Yeah.
Right. If we're gonna flash,
like
yeah. If we're gonna flash forward 30 years, where they're married for 25 and they're arguing about who takes out the garbage, then yes, you're right. They're probably polar opposites, and the marriage
no,
is not
yeah.
gonna work.
Yeah, she says right? that. She even J.K. Mm-hmm. Rowling said I shouldn't have put them together.
Yeah.
And then she was like, well, they eventually do need marriage counseling, and
they
all
will
of
definitely.
That.
Need marriage
and
counseling.
It's they're,
absolutely
yeah they're
he
both
has
stubborn.
Anger management issues
yeah
she talks down to him all the time
she
I
has
mean,
to be right
issues
very,
there.
Oh everything
right.
yeah
absolutely.
Whereas I feel like Hermione and Harry kind of understood each other and
too much though
no even well even though he kind of disagreed with some of the things he mm. wasn't rude about it. He kind of was like, okay, Hermione, tone it down
and
a bit.
Hermione's his mom in the book.
Yeah,
it's like,
dude.
Oh, yeah. yeah. That is true.
Every time he's like, let's go, I'm going to go save yeah. Sirius.
No,
you no, can't,
you can't
do, that.
Do that.
I'm going to break into Umbridge's office. No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm
going to
do this. No,
yeah.
you can't
I
do that.
I got a broom. Yeah. Better take that to make up.
That's my thing. I think Harry is too patient with Hermione. That's why I like Ron and her, because he gives it back to her.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
true.
That,
true, that is
yeah,
true.
I like that about him.
But he's kind of so mean about it.
Like, Harry, I mean, Hermione's got a point. They should have called you the dim one. Like, like, read a book. So.
Yes. That's
like, you so know, true. Voldemort killed your parents.
Yeah. Yes.
You might want to learn a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Instead Especially of, like, Hermione having to tell you in June when Voldemort's trying to kill you.
I know.
And the fact that... Oh, I thought of another magical talent.
Yeah.
Apparating.
Yeah. Oh, that would,
would be great.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah.
I-5 corridor, see ya.
Yeah, for real. Tacoma Dome traffic.
I always think about that when I have to drive. I'm like, if only I could apparate.
For real.
Yeah, I always go James Bond jetpacks with that. Like, that's what I think of, but apparating is better.
Apparating is way better.
You get there immediately. You don't have to have any equipment.
I'm in with that power. Absolutely.
But, like, the amount of time she has to tell them, you can't apparate into Hogwarts grounds. Like, oh, well, what if he apparates? It's like, Hermione said this like 5 million times. It's in Hogwarts A History. Mm-hmm. Read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much.
Well, you know, there's a little bit of that. Yeah. But, you know.
I guess they can be good. I like.
They're definitely like not getting along for the long term. Yes, well, they are getting. I Hogwarts marriage counseling, wherever that is.
Yes. They go back to Hogwarts for marriage counseling.
For marriage counseling,
The adult courses.
McGonagall's still kicking in.
McGonagall's still
going. Like, I knew you two
would
be back.
She's seriously disapproving.
Yeah.
Well, I like movie Ron and Hermione.
Yeah.
More so than book.
They're more believable.
Yeah. And I like book Harry and Ginny more so than movie Harry and Ginny.
Yeah, movie Ginny.
Okay, so, but is book Ron as frumpy as movie Ron in the description?
I think so. I mean,
frumpier, I would
frumpier.
Say.
Frumpier.
Yeah, but
he's super tall.
Because
and
Hermione ends up becoming
a little bit. He turns into a bro,
Does he?
He does turn into a bro.
Especially with once he starts Quidditch.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Weasley is our king. That's the other thing they didn't do, which I was kind
of
sad.
They did a little bit, I think, but not to the extent of what it was.
Yeah,
in
they
the
made
books.
It more like the Gryffindors were cheering that instead of
instead
Slytherin
of
was
Slytherins
taunting.
Mocking him. Yeah.
And then them turning it into
for like the whole Quidditch season.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But
because I feel like that's where I have the main beef is like Ron is he's a frumpy dude. I mean, he's got the bright red hair. He's not a good looking fella. Mm. I'm sorry. And then
Rupert
Hermione
Grint or Ron. Are you talking about Rupert Grint?
Yeah, the guy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
you know.
He's all right.
He's okay. Yeah.
I mean, is he Hermione standards?
Emma Watson
Come
standards?
Come on now.
Well,
Emma Watson, what are we doing here? You are out of your league.
So, wait, anything
Weasley.
Is possible
Let
in
me
Harry
get this
Potter.
Straight. You're saying that it's not believable for a frumpy guy who doesn't make a lot of sense, who's maybe less than normal to get with a really hot girl, because that happens in every movie ever.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean,
well, come and on. Movie Hermione is very glossed over, like very refined compared to
she
what
wasn't like
in
that.
The books. Okay. She has like buck teeth, super bushy hair.
Well, and maybe they didn't know that she would become like in real life what she became,
she
which was like a gorgeous actress.
The frizzy hair and like she grows into her face. So but like she still has the frizzy hair and like she's trying to, you know, manage like how she looks a little
so,
more.
So here's my issue.
In
so,
the fourth
so,
book, especially.
So Radcliffe in the movie gets progressively better looking, in my opinion.
Certainly not taller, though.
Yeah,
certainly not taller.
No, he's real handicapped by he's handicapped by the Tom Cruise height problem.
I wonder
height,
if he expected that
angle thing.
Probably
and then
on a
Emma Watson gets progressively better looking.
Yep.
And he
Rupert Grint's
he
just
gets
like
progressively like
ganglier,
older looking. Like he ages fast, like too fast.
I think it's a red hair.
It's a Benjamin Button situation.
Wait a second, do we have a 9-year-old?
Right.
What's he doing with this 17-year-old?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's true.
It's okay. You can everybody. That's the beauty of it. You can have it.
It's
I mean,
true. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Ron and Hermione, I think, were pretty good. I feel like Harry and Hermione would have pissed me off the whole time. These two
perfect
stupid
kids.
People.
Yeah, I think that's what JK also said. Like, I didn't want the hero to end up with the girl. Like, his best friend.
Well, I think we've ran through that enough with most movies, right? Yeah, I mean,
and
we don't need
Ron's
to do that.
Left out.
And then he's just the
I always
schlubby.
Thought Ron and Luna would have been pretty cute.
Harry and Luna looked
cute. Yeah, Harry and Luna was another one.
In the books, like, Book Ginny isn't a problem.
Yeah.
Book Ginny, she's awesome.
Book Ginny
she's
is
a,
amazing.
She's a Quidditch player. She's a
She holds her own.
She holds her own.
Instead of waiting for Harry?
Yep.
It's like
Hermione could have totally controlled Draco, though.
Yes, that's another I guess popular, unpopular kind of thing.
Wait, Hermione and Draco hooking up?
Yeah. Wow. In the movie ones, but the book one's not that great.
Age tough. That fella on screen was tough.
But Hermione was tough in the books. Like, she did not take anything from
anyone. Well, no. I mean, you know, that makes sense. It felt that way in the... It came across that way in the movies.
Yeah.
But book Draco was so mean.
Was he really?
He was really mean, like, with all the stuff he called Hermione and then about Ron's mom and then Harry's dead parents. But, okay,
He went after all the weaknesses of everybody.
Yeah. He learned from his dad.
With Lupin.
Yeah, even with
Lupin and Hagrid. Oh, and it's like...
Jason Isaacs, who's that actor, is, like, in my opinion, he is the sneakiest, best, like, villainous actor.
Oh, for
that movie,
Lucius Malfoy.
Yes, that movie, The Patriot. There's very few like amazingly redeeming things about that movie.
Jason Isaacs is ridiculous.
He did really well. So
that.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then in this one too, he's got that whole like vibe on his face. Yeah.
Well, he stayed in character when he was around.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. The kid who played Draco. Yeah.
Man, he's kind of like terrorizing. Because he's so like, he's also got that real like snooty British accent.
Yes.
Where you're like, I don't like you already.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, you think you're better than me.
Yeah, you already think you're better than me. Yeah.
With your uptown
London talk.
Exactly.
How dare you?
Why don't you come slum it downtown where the real people are?
Yeah, why don't you go to Manchester.
That's right.
No offense.
Or Chelsea.
Yeah. So I'm going to leave it to you guys. Is there anything else that you would like to add about Harry Potter? Because clearly I'm out of my league. I called it Sleepy Hollows.
Yes.
So would we like to close each of you with things that you really loved about Harry Potter?
Well, I mean, I love bad guys. Okay. Always. So Snape really did it for me, but Voldemort, not as much as Snape. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the main bad guy, but I always felt
his background's interesting, though.
His background is interesting. I feel like he let Harry go all the time.
Well, do you feel like...
I know he's a child, but...
Yeah. Do you feel like it wouldn't have mattered, like, how it ended up? It would have been a letdown, because they build you all the way up to finally seeing, like... Well, like Voldemort.
When he first appears as like a full body Voldemort, it's just like, oh, snap, oh, God, oh,
and then after that.
And then you're like, oh.
Goes progressively down.
And then it's like, oh, Harry got away.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Harry got away again. Okay. You know, and like, you know, like this type of story, of course Harry's going to win.
That would be the worst. George R. Martin writes the last two books.
You know?
Don't worry about it, kids.
Exactly. A Journey song's playing in the background.
Don't worry about it, kids. The bad guy wins all the time.
Exactly.
Welcome to real life.
Yeah. So, like, I felt like he looked rad. He seemed rad in the book. Yeah, he had an incredible backstory.
Yeah.
He had reasons for what he was doing. And then...
Yeah, okay, a little bit let down.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. All right.
But he did look good in a suit, like when Harry was.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
I was just like, oh snap! He's out here in the real world.
When it has that little twitchy part with Harry turning into Voldemort, I was like, that is some really cool movie magic.
Cool. All right. How about you? Takeaway from Harry Potter that you want people to know.
I love Harry Potter.
Okay.
And every time I read or listen to it, because I have all the audiobooks on Audible, and they are amazing.
Yeah.
But anytime I watch the movies or listen to them again, it's like, it's not like you are listening to it for the first time, but it's familiar, but not, but you find something new in it every single time.
Yeah.
So I find something new every time I listen to it.
Okay.
And I listened to the first one a lot I can quote. As Jim Dale's reading, I will say it along with
him. Yeah, accent,
kind of, I will try.
Yeah.
But I like, he does the voices of the characters too.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So that's really nice. But it's really close to me because I grew up with them.
Okay.
So, like Landon, I read them as they came out. I started reading them when I was in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last movie came out my last year of college.
Okay.
So, basically, that whole time, I grew up with Harry Potter. And any time that I would be like, okay, I'm really stressed out, or there's just too many things going on in life, or I'm just sad, and I'm like, I'll listen to Harry Potter.
It's a comfort book.
It is a comfort book. Like comfort food.
That's nice.
It's like a warm blanket.
That's nice.
Because you're so familiar with the characters.
Yeah. Like, who has slick, greasy hair?
I know, right?
Like, yeah. You can just certain descriptions, you just know.
Yeah.
I'm talking
you
about
know.
Snape.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, well,
it's true.
Talking about Snape, and that's another thing. Every time I listen to the books, as I'm older, when I'm younger, you, like, don't notice some of the things. But when now listening to Mads, I'm older, I'm like, some things that Snape says are really damaging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that Harry is not more messed up than he is,
yeah.
is a surprise. Yeah. And, I mean, sure, he's strong, and it was the Horcrux sometimes, like, messing with him. But I don't know. Snape went after him. Like, you said you like bad guys, so mm-hmm. I can see why Snape would be your favorite. But movie Snape was one character that I liked a lot more
than book Snape. Well, yeah, the way they did movie Snape was really interesting because in 10 minutes, in 10 minutes, they changed the context, the entire context of him, right? Yeah. So he went from being just a jerk, like a bad guy, to at the very end, you're like, oh, maybe he was just being hard on Harry because he wanted him to, like, earn it and, like get a spine.
Not be a bully like his dad. Yeah. It really rocked me in the
that
fifth
was
book.
One
that,
too.
I remember reading that and being like,
when
oh,
he
shit,
did that to Snape.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He was like
why
the Draco.
Yeah,
he
like
was the Draco, the instigator. Yeah. He had a pack of friends who followed him and did whatever they wanted.
Sirius and James, And, well, still to me with Snape is, like, I feel like his character is a little bit romanticized,
mm-hmm.
especially because he dies with always and him liking Lily. But I'm like, he needs to get over it. Lily chose James and he could not let go of that to the point where, another spoiler alert, he told Voldemort the prophecy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And made Voldemort go after. He didn't know he was going after Harry.
Or Lily.
Yeah. And that's when he was like, oh, no, like, you can't because I love her. But it's like she did not want you, dude. Just let it go. Yeah.
He's not learning his lesson. He has to improve himself. He called her a mudblood. That's why she doesn't want to be with him.
Yeah.
He listened in on that and told Voldemort. That's why Lily died. He's not getting his lesson.
Yeah. And
that is really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And he takes it on Harry, which is like, he just has a lot of issues too.
Mm.
But you can see, like, he picks on Harry just for the smallest things. And I feel like he gets a pleasure out of being mean to him because that's how his dad was to him.
Yeah, like the power thing.
Yeah, he's a complex character.
Yes, he
for
is.
Children.
And then there's I don't know if you remember in, like, the sixth book, really random. There's a Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson, and Snape casts a spell at Harry out of nowhere, and Harry blocks it out loud rather than doing a nonverbal spell. And Snape's kind of like,
oh,
you got the tension, but he's proud of him almost. Like, you blocked that.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
It's
kind of interesting to see him proud, but also like, I hate you because
I
love you because you're Lily's kid, but I hate you because you're James's kid, but you're one person. So
Or also in the sixth book where Harry does the spell on Malfoy, and then Snape comes in. He's just like, holy shit, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, that's oh my God.
That's
spell. That's
I can't believe that.
And how angry he, like,
he was
J.K. Rowling described him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the fact that Harry was actually legitimately scared, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because before it was just like, oh my God, I hate Snape.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to him. I hate him.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But
this was, he knew that he had that book somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he didn't know how Snape, he didn't know how Snape knew that he had that book. But
And one thing, just totally off topic, the Vanishing Cabinet.
Yes.
In, I think it's in the second book or the third, where Harry finds out that Filch is a squib.
Mm-hmm.
And Sir Nick, he's like, oh, I just dropped a cabinet. And it was the Vanishing Cabinet.
And that's when it breaks.
Like, oh my God, that's when it breaks. So I was like reading and they were like, oh yeah. And Draco's like asking about how to repair something. And I'm like, it's the Vanishing Cabinet. It was broken. Really good times. But I love Harry Potter.
I know. There it is. Yeah. All right. One thing you would like people to know about your relationship with Harry Potter.
Similar to Kieran, every time you go back, you do revisit it, and you do learn more. I'm asking myself different questions than I've asked, like, as I've read it. So the first time maybe I read it, it was, what's Harry going to do in these situations? But this time I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, is 11 too young to sort these kids? Because these kids' personalities change, and they hate each other because of these few personality traits they've been told they have at 11
Look
years
at
old.
That. Yeah. Social experiment.
Do names have power? So, like, you know who. Yeah. Everyone says you know who. But there's a scene in the fifth book movie where Harry says Voldemort, and, or maybe Hermione says Voldemort, and Bellatrix goes, you don't deserve to say his name. Yeah. Yeah. Mudblood. Don't say his name. Yeah. That's for him only.
Uh-huh. Well, so Slughorn like, has the same experience with Harry in the movies where he's like, don't say his name. It's like, I'm not afraid of the name.
Or Hermione's the fear of the thing. The fear of the name increases the fear of the thing itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's another one. Because Voldemort has a very big connotation in the books. Like his name, like you were saying, Bellatrix, pretty like you can't say that, you don't deserve to. Whereas mm-hmm. Harry's like, I don't care. I've never grew up knowing I shouldn't say the name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whereas Ron's like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. don't say that like around me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So kind of giving that names, how much do names have power? Mm-hmm. And then something else I was realizing. So the wizards will live in this like almost 1800s technology world. Yeah. Is magic, is it kind of a metaphor for saying magic is, and they have social prejudice, I mm-hmm. mean, between the whole Half-Blood, Mudblood.
Yeah.
Is there the world kind of like a reflection of us with technology, like this technology making you miss these little things that could improve your life? Even though you yeah. have magic brooms and apparating to carry you places, you still have candles.
Yeah.
And you still have... Quills.
Inkwells. Yeah. Yep.
You still have owls that are crapping on your desk.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
could have email.
Yeah.
Like well,
yeah. Or like
the
in
electronic letter.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like in the sixth book when Harry goes with Mr. Weasley to the Ministry of Magic and he sees like these paper planes mm-hmm. that go and deliver, and then Harry's like looking up and Mr. Weasley goes, well, yeah, we got rid of the owls after they made such a big mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, but you still can't have pens.
Yeah.
You have flying letters, but you can't have a ballpoint
yeah,
pen.
Yeah.
But they do address in the books that stuff doesn't work in Hogwarts
mm-hmm.
because of all the protection it has to get mm. it, keep it hidden. So radios and, like, Muggle stuff like technology does not work
mm.
because of that.
No cell phones at Hogwarts.
So maybe it's yeah. saying something
so maybe it's
deeper.
Not yeah. just yeah,
maybe it's saying something it. Deeper about how like technology really.
Yeah, imagine is bad. Imagine if they had cell phones at Hogwarts. Oh,
yeah, that wouldn't yeah. work out well at
plus
all.
Plus, in 98. There were
yeah,
yeah, that would not work out at all.
Or when Ron uses the telephone for the first time and he's like yelling.
Yes, he's screaming into it.
Yeah,
can you understand yeah. me?
I love how Mr. Weasley's so fascinated by
what
the
is
Muggle stuff.
Yeah, what is the function of a rubber duck? Or
yeah,
he says. Yeah,
yeah. Like, or when he's like, Harry shows him how to use something. I don't remember what, but he's like, these Muggles, so creative. They think of the cutest things or something like that. I was like, that's
like, what?
Awesome. Yeah.
And then also casting. You hear, you read it through 7 books. You see it through 8 movies.
Mm-hmm.
You have your mother's eyes. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
yes. The kid at the end, they cast as Lily. What color are her eyes? Not the same as Daniel Radcliffe.
Nope.
Get a clue, people.
They're like, oh, wow.
Get a wig. Get a wig for the kid.
See
get
that.
Color
yeah.
context.
Wow.
You'll see it now.
You yeah, will now see I will. It.
She has brown eyes.
Wow.
He's
yeah.
very much brown
come
eyes.
Come on, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come they could have at least
green
matched.
Eyes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, if you can't find a kid with red hair, get a wig. If you can't find a kid with green eyes, get some contacts.
Cut scenes of
Ginny. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And okay,
I can't handle that.
The fact that Ginny is just like Lily
yeah.
is another thing. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
He basically made Harry marry his mother. But, I mean, I love Ginny, but yeah. that was another thing.
Yeah.
Because the red hair, I think she had green eyes. I don't remember Ginny's, but mm-hmm. she was super fierce and didn't take anything from
yeah.
anyone. And
yeah.
that was basically Lily. So
yeah.
I was just like, okay. And obviously Harry was like a young James.
Yeah.
But
yeah. All right.
That was like another thing. So.
That's yeah. awesome.
I really liked how Voldemort was a man in the book and how Harry calls him Tom, too, right at the mm-hmm. very end.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in the movie, he just disintegrates into
yeah.
ash.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not even human. Mm. I liked how they made him human.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that both cool. Dumbledore and Harry did call him Tom in the movie and did yeah. like different movies. Because, yeah, I mean, that's mm-hmm. important. Like, you are still just a
you're
man.
You're Tom Riddle. That's your
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
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 That's you're not you Lord Voldemort.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
You can pretend you're all magical and mystical and yeah. evil, but we all know you as Tom.
Right.
And
I think that's pretty mm-hmm. cool. That's a good device, mm-hmm. right, to like, pick him down.
Yeah.
Pick him down a notch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And also, like, his backstory, I wish they explored that more.
Yeah.
Because
poor mother.
Yeah,
hashtag Voldemort deserves his own movie.
Yeah, his whole family.
Hashtag that's coming. You know that's
hashtag
coming.
Hashtag after Fantastic Beasts. That's
yeah,
the
they're
going
to do a whole.
Hashtag
they can't
HBO
stop this universe.
Harry Potter.
There you go.
They can't stop this universe.
No.
No,
I'm still
coming.
I'm still yeah. hoping HBO picks up.
If they're going to if they're going to
you're going to do the series when you win the lottery.
If I win the lottery,
yeah.
that is what I'm going to
yeah,
do.
We've had this
go to
discussion.
Warner Bros, buy
yeah.
the rights and be like HBO, go ahead.
We're doing a series.
If they're going to unevaporate half the Avengers to keep them doing movies, they're going to keep introducing Harry Potter movies.
They have.
Right. I mean, there's a Black Panther 2 coming out. They're going to be like
Star Wars is has been going on since 1977.
Yeah.
Like, we're come good. On. We're they're going to do this forever.
Yeah. They're going to do this forever.
We need origin stories.
Yeah. Okay. So that was really cool. I'm glad that you guys didn't throw me out of the room. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. This was really cool. The one thing I will say about Harry Potter that I like is the modern day mythology associated with it. So it has really definitely become something that people dig into, and they find meaning in between things and lessons and all sorts of stuff. I think it's kind of cool. And the other thing I liked about the movie specifically is that the kids grow with the movie. So like, I mean, not at three, like Landon, but like a regular kid will start Harry Potter, you know, like they'll start it at like six or seven, and then those first two
maybe
movies
a little older.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and then you morph into like you're going through more insecurities and little darker mm-hmm. thoughts and all those sort of things, and it goes with you. I like that. That's cool. Yeah.
Like when Harry and them were teens, I was a teen. Mm-hmm. So you kind of connected with them at that level.
Right, right. He was experiencing issues on a fantastic level.
Yeah.
But he was still experiencing issues.
Still,
yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Harry's going to be 37 this year.
Oh, man.
Radcliffe is a heck of an actor. I like him.
Yeah. I don't know how old he's going to be.
No.
But
Harry, Harry's going to be
born in like 80, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he was 11
no,
in 91.
Radcliffe's not going to be 37.
Yes.
Yeah.
He can't be 37.
No, there's no way.
No, Radcliffe's like, he's maybe.
Well, all right.
Because when they started the movies, I was 11.
Yeah.
And he was 11.
Well,
so
there
I think
you
he's
going to
be
28.
Okay.
So that's what we'll do. We'll release this podcast on Harry Potter's birthday.
Yeah.
Right? Happy 37th, Harry.
Happy birthday, Harry.
Happy birthday, Harry. Yep, there you go, buddy.
Yes, someone has to bake that cake.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday, buddy. Here's a podcast just for you.
Way to defeat Lord Voldemort for all of us.
Yeah.
Yes, and
we're safe now.
Last thing, Hogwarts will always be there to welcome you home.
Oh,
and it's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Yes,
that's true.
And little known fact, it's Deathly Hallows, not Sleepy Hallows.
Yes.
Little known
yes,
fact.
Yes. Deathly Hallows.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.